In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Many years ago, I read a column in an Orthodox publication. This was back when print magazines were much more common. Now things are mostly digital, it seems. I think the magazine was called The Handmaiden or something like that. Anyway, a frazzled mom had written into this column for some advice asking, "Do you have any tips for getting my kids moving and motivated to go to church on Sunday morning?" The columnist began her reply, "Yes, start getting ready on the previous Monday." She went on to give a more thorough answer, though, that said, if God was in the home all week long, and not a God of rules and laws and hoops you have to jump through, but our God, a God of love and compassion and kindness, a God who knows me by name, if our loving and healing God is in the house all week long, her children would be more likely to be drawn to the house of God on Sunday. If God is just reserved for Sundays alone at church, your kids will have no frame of reference for who they're going to see or why. That was the response in this column. Archbishop Paul of blessed memory, before he went to seminary, was an in-home family therapist for families on the edge. It was quite a job he had. He worked for the state and would go into troubled homes, whether because of addiction or abuse or neglect or debilitating mental illness, and of course, often generational poverty. And Bishop Paul realized very quickly in his job as a young man that 1 hour of family therapy per week was not enough if there was no desire and no effort, and most importantly, no presence of love the other 6.5 days. If the family didn't use the tools and skills he brought to them, if there wasn't the desire and the presence of love in that house, Bishop Paul said it was like he had never there at all. The next week, it was exactly the same as he had left it. And important and essential as weekly therapy was, what was in the house the rest of the week was everything. The most important elements needed in that environment were love and the desire to heal day in and day out. And in the homes, he said, in the homes where the desire to heal and love were present, positive change always occurred. That didn't mean their problems went away, but it did mean that growth happened without exception. That was his experience. Now today we heard a familiar story of Jesus healing the paralytic who was lowered by 4 friends through the roof of the house. And with everything going on in the story, the paralyzed man, the 4 friends, the hole in the roof, the forgiving of sins, the grumbling of the religious elite, and of course the healing itself, and then the change of the hearts of everyone gathered there to glorify God. With all that going on, it could be easy to miss an essential detail right at the beginning. But without this detail, the rest could not have happened. The event takes place in the town of Capernaum, and it says, word got out that Jesus was in the house. Word got out that Jesus was in the house. Honestly, that's the most important line in the whole story. Jesus was in the house. Without Jesus being in the house, there is no story. There is no gathering. There is no healing. There is no forgiveness of sins. But when Jesus is in the house, anything can happen. Anything can happen. All becomes possible. Because Jesus is God incarnate, because Jesus is light and peace and healing and love, where Jesus is, all becomes possible. And that's what Bishop Paul noticed in his days as a family therapist. You know, love and desire for healing had to be in the home for positive change to occur. And before anything, for there to be healing and light, God must be in the house. That's exactly the advice the columnist gave that frazzled mom. If you want to increase the odds that your kids will be motivated for church on Sunday, God must be in the house beginning on Monday. In other words, all week long. All week long. And not some God, as we said, as a rule enforcer or with religious hoops to jump through. In the gospel story, that role was taken not by Jesus, but by the scribes, by the Pharisees. No, I mean God in the house as a presence, a tangible presence of kindness and light and gentleness and excellence and above all, love. And this is true for all of us, whether there's kids in the household or not, makes really no difference. Having Jesus in the house all week long is not just for kids. It's for everyone, at least everyone who wants healing and light and love in their life. Now, there's one more lesson here, and this runs deeper still than what we've already said. God being in the house, Jesus being in the home, doesn't just mean like the place where you live or the day-to-day activities. It includes that, to be sure. Deeper than that, we're also speaking of the house in here, the house within, the house of your own heart. To have God in the house in which I live, I must first have God within the house of my own heart. That goes without saying, or it should. In the prophecy of Joel, God promised that in the days of Christ, God would pour the Holy Spirit, true God of true God, God would pour the Holy Spirit into the hearts of all people, our sons and daughters, the old and the young, the masters of the house and the servants. Without distinction, God wills to live within every human heart. To push a metaphor from Archbishop Paul's days as a therapist, if we are not attuned to God dwelling within, and if we're not communing with Jesus dwelling in the house of our own heart throughout the week, an hour of therapy on Sunday morning will do us very little good. For there to be healing and for there to be light, God must be found in the house of my heart day in and day out. Because Jesus is God incarnate, and because Jesus is peace and is healing and love, all becomes possible when Jesus is in the house. Amen.